Tonight, the Lord willing, I'm going to be preaching from John chapter 13. You'll be familiar with this passage of Scripture, and I'd like for you to read it again this afternoon before you come to the service tonight. John 13, 1 through 17. And this Scripture has to do with when the Lord was pleased to wash the disciples' feet and give them two powerful, powerful lessons. John 13, 1 through 17. Now, we learn so much from the old preachers. Most of the time now, I begin a message with a quote from some of these old men. We're debtors to them. And this quote will have something to do with my subject this morning. John Flavel. I don't remember what years he lived, but 200 or 300 years ago. He wrote a book entitled The Method of Grace. If you ever have an opportunity to secure it, it's one of the best books that I've ever read. John Flavel, Method of Grace. The publishing company in Chateau, Montana carries that book. But anyway, John Flavel said this, four things. Everything that God Almighty has for sinful men is in Christ Jesus. It's all right there. Of Him, from Him, in Him. And secondly, all of these great mercies of the everlasting covenant are not only ours in Christ, but ours through faith in Christ. You've got to believe. Almighty God has ordained by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Thirdly, Fable said this, and that faith, that saving faith that God gives us, that we read about a moment ago in chapter 2, that saving faith comes by hearing the gospel. Hearing the gospel. How can they call upon Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe except they hear the word? How shall they preach except they be sent to proclaim it? And fourthly, that word of hearing, that word is made effectual by the Holy Spirit of God. Over here in Ephesians 1, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul said, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Without Christ Jesus, crucified, risen, ascended, exalted, our preaching is vain. Also, without Christ Jesus, our faith is also vain. And thirdly, we're found false preachers if Christ be not risen. And we're yet in our sins, Paul said. And all who died believing on Christ are perished. And therefore, that being the case, we're of all men most miserable. But I've got some good news this morning. Here in Ephesians 1, you have your Bible open there. Our message this morning is good news. This is the title, All Spiritual Blessings in Christ Jesus. All Spiritual Blessings are ours in Christ Jesus. So let's start with Ephesians 1 and begin with verse 3. And Paul writes here, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God. Because he is God. Blessed be God because he is God. Holy and reverend is his name. It's in him that we live and move and have our being. So blessed be God. The Apostle John wrote, blessing, honor, glory, peace be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and forever. Bless God. Because he is God. And then he says this, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in this, in his epistles, Hebrews chapter 1, the attributes of the Son. Blessed be God, he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, Paul said this, whom God hath appointed heir of all things, by whom God made the worlds, who is the brightness of his glory, who's the exact image of his person, who upholdeth all things by the word of his power, who by himself purged our sins, and who now is sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's who he is. That's who he is. Blessed be God, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ hath given to him all authority, all power, all preeminence, that he should give eternal life to as many as God has given him. And let me remind you, the death of God's Son on the cross was not intended to make an angry God willing to show mercy to sinners. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross was not intended to make an angry God show mercy to sinners. The death of Christ is because God loved us. Because God loved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The death of Christ did not cause God to love us. The death of Christ is because God loved us. Love comes first. The death of Christ is the result of God's love. I gave that some months ago here. John 3:14-16. John 3:14 tells us gives us the remedy for sin. He gives us the remedy for sin. In John 3:14, turn to John 3:14. John 3:14. This verse here in John 3:14 gives us the remedy for sin. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. There is no redemption without a cross. There is no cleansing without blood. So there's the remedy for sin. And then the second verse, verse 15, is the results of that remedy. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, that have everlasting life. Now verse 16 is the reason for all of this. The remedy is the death of Christ. The result is the salvation of his people. And the reason is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I heard a man say one time, well, God could have saved everybody. God could have saved everybody. Or God could have damned everybody. Well, I don't believe that God is willing or is purpose to save everybody. But I do know this. I know God can't damn everybody. God cannot condemn everybody and cannot damn everybody because God is love. God is love. God is love. And God could not damn everybody because His love must be shown. His love must be manifested. That's what He said to Moses when Moses said, Lord, show me Your glory. He said, I'll make all My glory pass before You. I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I'll be gracious. God is gracious. God is good. God is love. And He must save sinners. Aren't you glad of that? I rejoice in that. All right, look back at my text. Verse 3. Blessed be God, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He has blessed us. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Read that again. He hath blessed us. He hath blessed us. It's already done. He's already blessed us. 'Tis done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's, and He is mine. The gifts and calling of God are from everlasting, without change. God sent His Son into the world to redeem sinners. And He said this about Israel, the land is yours before you possessed it. The land is yours before you possessed it. Turn to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 30, you're all familiar with this scripture, but let's look at verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, all spiritual blessings. One man said one time, you may not have all the material blessings that you think you need. And we don't. You may not have all the material blessings that you think you need. But I'll tell you this. You have all of God's spiritual blessings already yours in Christ Jesus. Everything. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's already done. Already done. One of the old writers said this, Lord Jesus, engrave it on my heart that Thou the one thing needful art. I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from Thee. Needful art Thou to make me live. Needful art Thou all grace to give. Needful to guide me when I stray. Needful to save me and keep me every day. Needful Your presence, dearest Lord. True grace and comfort to afford. Needful art Thou to be my stay through all life's dark and weary way. No less in death Thou wilt needful be when my soul departs to be with Thee. All things in Christ. God, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, already blessed us. The land is yours before you possessed it. Already blessed us with all spiritual blessings. All we need, all that heaven requires, all that God demands, all that the law commands, all blessings are in Him. Watch this next line in Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him. According as He hath chosen us in Him. Three questions here. Of whom is Paul speaking? I tell you of whom he's speaking. He's speaking of the Heavenly Father who had chosen us sinners in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Christ who is our Savior. That's the person of whom he's speaking. The Father had chosen us, the sinner, in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi. The last book in the Old Testament, chapter 3. The last book in the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3. Listen to this. Chapter 3, verse 16. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And God says, and they shall be mine. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. You talk about good news. God had chosen us. God the Father chose us. Unworthy sinners in his Son. In his Son. What's the second thing? When did he choose us? It says here, according as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy. Thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God who chose us in Christ. Let's read that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3. We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Election is a gospel and a salvation of love. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you. It's a salvation of choice to salvation. It's a salvation of means through sanctification of spirit and belief of the truth. God hath chosen you when? Before the foundation of the world. And here's the third one. Why did he choose us? I know he chose me. The hymn writer says, "'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, that could not be. This heart of mine would still refuse thee, but you've chosen me. My heart owns none beside thee. For thy rich grace I thirst. This knowing, if you love me, if I loved you, you must have loved me first." God chose us before the foundation of the world. Now, why? Here it is, right here in Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 2, verse 4. According as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, that we should be holy, and before him, and without blame before him. That we should be holy and without blame before him. Now, he didn't choose us because we were holy. He didn't choose us because we had a tendency to be holy. There's not a single blessing that comes from the hand of God that is not stamped with the hand of his electing love. All blessings come to us because of his choice. All blessings come to us in accordance with his choice. And all blessings come to us to prove his choice. According as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I looked something up one time in regard to this, why he chose us, why God chose us. And I found three answers. Why God chose, why did he choose me and you? We're unworthy of his mercy, unworthy of the least of his favor. But why? Well, when Ananias came to Saul of Tarsus after the Lord had revealed the Lord Jesus Christ to Saul of Tarsus, Ananias came to him and he gave the reason why God chose the Apostle Paul. Listen, the God of our fathers hath chosen you, that you should know his will, that you should see the just one, and that you should hear the voice of his mouth. That's why God chose you. That's why. That's why he chose you. That you should know his will of redemption. That you should see the object of your redemption, Christ Jesus. And that you should hear his voice. My sheep, hear my voice, and I give them eternal life. That's why God chose you. That's why. That you might know his will, see Christ, and hear his word. Here's the second one I found in James chapter 1. Just, I'll quote it for you. Of his own will, he begat us through the word of truth, that we should be, a kind of first fruits of his creatures, that we should be his children, his creatures, his jewels, his sheep, his church. That's why he chose us, that we should be his. My Father gave them to me. He said, all that my Father giveth me will come to me, and they will come because they're his. And then here's the third thing I found. This is powerful. Matthew 11:25, our Lord said this. At that time, Jesus answered and said, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, I thank you. I thank you that you've hid these things from the wise and prudent, and you revealed them to babes. For so it seemed good in thy sight. That's why he saved you. It seemed good to him. That's why I chose you and me. It seemed good in God's sight. That's it. Bless God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessing, according as he chose us, in him before the foundation of the world, that we should know his will, see his face, and hear his voice. That we should be sort of the first fruits of his creatures, adopted as sons and children, children of God. And the reason he did it, because that's what he was pleased to do. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. Now, look at verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Nearly everybody out there in the world has problems with this word predestination. It's only in the Bible 4 times. Only 4 times. And every time the word predestinate is in the Bible, in the book of Romans first, 3 times, and then in the book of Peter, every time it appears in the Scripture, it has to do with what God's going to make of his elect. He's going to make them sons. He's going to predestinate them to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's God's purpose, that we might be like Christ. Man walked up to me one day and he said, I was in a filling station. That's where I was in a filling station with a friend of mine. And we stopped to get a Coke. And there's a Bible open on the counter. And I walked over and saw the Bible. It's open. I said, this yours? He said, yes, sir. I said, that's a nice Bible. He said, you believe predestination? Well, I said, I don't know. What's it mean? He said, well, it means some are predestinated to hell and some people are predestinated to heaven. I said, no, sir, I don't believe that. I don't believe that because that's not what it is. Well, he said, it isn't. I said, no. Every time the word predestinate is in the Bible, it has to do with God will make His Son like Christ. We're adopted in the family of God to be like Christ. David said, I'll awake with His likeness. Beloved, now we're the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we'll be like Him. And I said to the man, I got that read to him. Predestinate four times. I said, don't you want to be like Christ? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. Then you believe in predestination. Now, I said, election has to do with people. Predestination has to do with God's purpose for those people. Can you get that? He chose us, but He predestinated us to be like Him. I don't see any problem with that. There's no problem to it. Election has to do with people. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And He predestinated us to be like Christ. You know, when the Lord chose Joseph, He chose him to be king in Egypt. But boy, it took him a long time to get there. He had to go through this place and that place. He had to be betrayed by his brothers and had to be sold into slavery and made a good steward in a Potiphar's house in Egypt, and then thrown in jail and stayed there for a while and then put on the throne. Predestinated to be king. And you're predestinated to be like him. And you'll go through a lot of trials and troubles, and God will whip you and He'll scold you and He'll bless you and He'll love you and He'll call you and He'll justify you and He'll make you mature and grow up, and like Peter, He'll convert you and He's going to make you like Christ. Don't give up on me. I'm not there yet, but I will be someday, just like Him. If you trace your blessings of salvation, you've got to begin with God. That's where it all began. Let me give you an outline. You check this now. If you trace your blessings and salvation, you begin with God. And there was a time. Now I know you can't associate time with God. God's eternal, everlasting. But there was a time. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning. That's right, from the beginning. So there was a time. There was a time of beginning. Secondly, there was a will. According to the good pleasure of His will. Look at verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. God's will, not yours. His will. There was a time when God determined to have a kingdom and gave it to Christ. There was a will, His will. Thirdly, there was a purpose, having predestinated them to be like Christ. And then there was a choice. Having loved His own, He loved them to the end. He chose them. And then there's a result. And here it is in verse 6. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He made us accepted. He made us accepted in the Beloved. What does accepted mean? It means to find favor with God. I gave you that definition some time ago about when the angel appeared to Mary, and the angel said, blessed art thou among women, You've found favor with God. God's with you. And that's what acceptance is to find favor with God. When we're accepted in the Beloved, God Himself looks upon us with delight and divine approval. In Christ now, we're accepted in the Beloved. And when we're accepted of God in the Beloved, God looks upon us with favor, with delight, and with divine approval. Why? Because in the heart of Christ, He loves us. In the book of Christ, He wrote our names. In the hand of Christ, He holds us, never to let us go. In the loins of Christ, we are without blame. In Adam we die, in Christ we're made alive. And then in the person of Christ, we're baptized into His body. Baptized into His body. One writer said this. This is special. What the sun is to light, what water is to the well, what life is to a body, what trees are to a forest, what sand is to a desert, what air is to a balloon, what words are to speech, that's Jesus Christ to me. Everything. Everything. Then closing, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. What is redemption? Redemption. I was down in Mexico visiting Brother Walter Gruber years ago. And those Mexican boys make kites. They get the sticks, you know, and put them together. And then they get some newspaper or something and stretch it out or some kind of paper. And usually they'll use paste, you know, to stick it together, and then get a tail and take it out and fly it. And this little boy, his daddy made him a kite, real fine kite. And he went out and let the string out and got it in that Yucatecan wind and blowing up there, you know, hanging on to it, trying to let it out real. And then it string broke. And the kite went that way. Wind just took it into the next pueblo. But it wasn't long after that the father and the little boy, this is a true story, Walter told me this, father and little boy were in another pueblo, and they were looking at those little farmers' markets, and there was a kite for sale. And little boy said to his daddy, "That's my kite. That's my kite." And little boy said, "You sure?" And little dad said, "You sure, son?" "Yes, you made that kite for me. It's my kite." Well, they walked in to see the proprietor, and they said, "My son says that's his kite. But he can have it for 2 pesos. And the father said, "Well, son, that's the only way you're going to get it back is buy it." So he gave the little boy 2 pesos. He gave it to the man. And he got his kite. And held it up to his chest. And he walked out to the door. And on the way out, he said, "Little kite, you're mine twice. I made you and I bought you. That's me. He's mine twice. He made me and he bought me. Never to let me go. To the praise." That's redemption. He redeemed his kite. It's not worth much. I ain't either. But I am to him. I am to that ball. I am. See, redemption implies ownership. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Redemption, God's the author of redemption. The salvation of the righteous is of God and of Him only. The channel of redemption is Christ. We're accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption. The price of redemption is His blood. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood. And the certainty of it, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of all sin. All sin. I want to show you one thing, and I'll close. This first chapter of Ephesians deals with the work of the Father in redemption, the work of the Son, and the work of the Spirit. And each time that we deal with the work of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, it finishes with this statement, to the praise of His glory. Now look at verse 7. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He made us accepted in the beloved. That's why He made us accepted, to the praise of His glory. Now look at verse 12. Talking about the Son who enlightened us and redeemed us, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. And then verse 13, 14, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the pledge of our inheritance to the redemption of the purchased possession. Why? To the praise of His glory. Praise God, from whom all blessings come. Praise Christ, whose blood redeemed us. Praise the Spirit of God. All of this is done to the praise of His glory. May God bless you and help all of us to get hold of this and love it, appreciate it, rejoice in it. And let us bow in prayer.